Everyone that's joining us by live stream this morning, you are a part of our family. And we love you. We'd like to see your faces, but we know many of you can't get out because many of you aren't even in this state. I think we had one couple at one time that was from the UK watching our services. Amen. So we want to welcome you this morning. We got a great word that's going to come forth this morning, not because it's me giving it, but because it's God giving it to me to give to you. Amen. Be turning in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. When I sought the Lord on what he would have me focus on, and this has been a year or two ago, I started focusing on, God, what do you want me to teach your people in these last days? And he said, teach them to develop a relationship with me. And I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but when God instructs me to do something, this cowboy's going to do it. Amen? So, amen? Somebody say check. It's not that cold, okay? Your lips aren't frozen. But I tell you what, just in case some of you are, if you're watching by a live stream this morning, says, preach it, Pastor. And I say amen to that. Amen? Praise God. So our first two messages of this year were geared towards that building of a closer relationship with our Heavenly Father. If you miss those, which most of the people who are in there here this morning, they watch when they're not here. But if you did happen to miss those two messages, go to our website and download those. Those will bless you. Those were Holy Ghost messages that for God's people. Praise God. Now, we know from last week and from many previous studies that prayer is the most important and a key component of you and I building a relationship with God. If you don't pray, you will not have a relationship with God. How many of you know you have to talk to him? How many of you know you have to listen to him? That's called prayer. Amen. You don't have to get long-winded. You don't have to pray in the King James Version. You know, just talk to him like he's your daddy. Amen. Because he is. Prayer is simply communicating with the God that created you. It's walking in him and talking with him. And then more importantly, it's listening to him and then doing what he says. Thank you, Brother Hans. I appreciate that. One amen, a couple grunts, and we'll move on. You see, prayer was never meant for you and I to just go in and inform an uninformed God and enlighten him on what he needs to be doing for us. Too many people, that's all they pray, is what God can do for them. It wasn't meant for you and I to just give God a laundry list and tell him all about the problems we've been getting ourselves into because we haven't been praying. Like he doesn't already know you're in trouble. That's what makes a person's prayer life unfruitful, because it doesn't have the power of God's presence in those kind of prayers. Now, when you first get born again, I don't want to shut anybody down. When you first get born again, God will hear prayers like help. If that's all you can say is help me, God, I need your help. He listens to that. But when you get 5, 10, 15, 20 years old in the Lord, you ought to be praying something besides just help you. Amen? Amen? Amen. When we learn that prayer is actually about staying in God's presence, that it's continuously walking with him and talking with him, having close personal fellowship with God, not just in the mornings, not just at night when you go to bed, but all day long. Can you say amen? And I want to tell you, that type of prayer, when you stay in God's presence all day long, that type of prayer you talking to God will enrich your life. Amen. Prayer is meant to enrich our lives. And I think the reason many people don't pray is because they just don't know how to pray. They just don't know how. They hear one person on TV or one person in their Bible study praying in the King James Version, praying long-winded prayers, and they think, well, I just can't pray like that, so I just won't pray. I learned a long time ago that God is my Father. And I could talk to Him just like I talk to you. And He listens to me. And He answers my prayers when I pray His word. And that's just the way it is. Let me explain it like this. We spend so much of our time with everyday human beings. And we get to know them on a natural level, don't we? Amen. We can talk and listen to them. We can see them. We can feel them. So most of our day is really centered around our feelings. What we hear, what we see, and what we touch. But when we come to God, listen to me now, He's not going to meet us on a natural level. Why? Because God is a spirit. And John 4:24, write that down, says it. Amen. Don't turn there, but write that down. It says, God is a spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. How many of you know God's word is the only truth there is? Amen. That means God will always meet you and I on a spiritual level. You see, prayer has nothing to do with our feelings. Let me just personalize it. Prayer has nothing to do with my feelings. It has nothing to do with my emotions, even though, as you saw earlier, when I was fellowshipping with God, even in that song, I got emotional. So it's okay to have feelings and have emotions on that word. When you're in His presence, you're going to feel His presence. And when you feel His presence and His presence overshadows you, sometimes you're going to have emotions. Sometimes you'll weep. Sometimes you'll laugh. Amen. How many of you in here ever laughed with God? Praise God. I'm telling you, some of our lives, He laughs at us a lot. I mean, with us a lot. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we have to meet Him on a personal level. Amen. And He is a spirit being. Hallelujah. So prayer has nothing to do with our feelings, but has everything to do with our faith in Him. Can you say amen? I enter into God's presence by faith, not by my feelings. Yet I deal with people every day by my feelings. I can see them. I can walk with them. I can talk with them. I can touch them. But it's all on a natural level. But when I approach my Heavenly Father and I want a fellowship with Him, then my fellowship is done in the spirit realm by faith, not by my feelings. Amen. Now, you and I, again, can have feelings in our prayers. Y'all saw me weep this morning because He touched me. I've gotten into uncontrollable laughter when I got in God's presence. When I first did that, I don't know, years and years ago, I thought, what in the world is going on? I can't even stop laughing. And then God said, that's holy laughter, son. Don't try to put it down. Just go with it. And I'll deal with you where you're at. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. There's always been times in my life when my emotions got involved with my prayer life. My point is, we can experience emotions and feelings when we're in the prayer closet and we're in God's presence, but it's not a feeling or an emotion that we're looking for when we're with God. Amen? See, years ago when I first started praying, talking with God, and I didn't feel something, I didn't think he heard me. But how many of you know he does? Amen. So don't get controlled by your feelings where if you go to God in your prayer life and, well, I just don't feel nothing. Is God listening to me? Of course he is. But he's going to answer you and talk to you in a still small voice. I mean, if he's shaking the bush and rattling the mountains, you might want to hide. That means you're not living right. He will talk and guide you in a small voice, in a small, still voice. And when I found that out, my brothers and sisters, that revolutionized my prayer life. And from that moment on, I knew that I could go boldly before the throne of grace, just like God said I could in Hebrews 4:16. Can you say amen? Amen. And let me tell you this. You can too. The Bible says go boldly before his throne of grace. Amen. That don't mean go up there and start yelling at him and tell him what he's got to do. That means you can go boldly before the throne of God and you can have great fellowship with him. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this. When you get a revelation of what prayer and having a relationship with God really is, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to stay in prayer with God? Who wouldn't want to get up first thing in the morning and instead of going about your business and scurrying about your business in your life, getting with God first thing in the morning and saying, Father, what can I do for you? Lead and guide me today, Father God. Amen. I'm telling you, prayers come a long way than just asking God for something. We need to actually, and I'm getting ahead of myself, we need to really quit asking God to do something for us and start asking God what we can do for him. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The moment you start living your life to please him, he's going to pour the blessings out on you. Quit asking for blessings. Ephesians 1:3 says he's already blessed you with everything. So why on earth would I want to go to God and waste his time and mine saying, Father God, bless me. Bless me with this. Bless me with that. He's going, hey. I'm not going to tell you how he talks to me. But it's always a loving voice. But he'll correct me, say, stop that. That's not prayer. That's begging. Right. Why are you begging for something I've already given you? Just saying. But who wouldn't want to go with God each and every day, all day long, and just walk with him and talk with him and let him guide you through your whole day? And I'm talking to the young just as well as I'm talking to the old. You young people in here, you got an enormous opportunity not to spend your life in error, but while you're still young, learn how to pray, learn how to have a fellowship with your Heavenly Father, no matter what your parents are doing, no matter what your other brothers and sisters are doing, it's mano a mano, baby. It's you and God. I don't worship God because Miss Brenda does. I worship God because of who he is in me. Holly, and what he's done for me. Glory to God. Oh yeah, praise the Lord. I'm almost done with my introduction. But that is the message we started this year off with. And we're going to continue that message this morning. And we'll continue that message until God tells me to change it. Amen. How many of you know, I know some of you do, the word of God is the same. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is established in heaven. His word is established, so it's not going to change. So you're going to hear pretty much the same message every time you come in here. And you know why you're going to? Because you're not doing it all. None of us are. That's why Paul said, I run my race. How many of you know the race is longer than just one step? When we're running a race, it means we're going to run from the time we get born again until the time Jesus raptures us off this planet. Amen. Hallelujah. So the message is going to stay in this direction as long as God needs to. Amen. So I'm titling this message this morning, Establishing God's Will on Earth. And I want us to pick up on one scripture here in 1 Peter chapter number 4. And then we'll move on from there. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. How many of you know the end's pretty near? If you don't, your head's been in the sand. And we'll need to help. We need to pray your head out of the sand. Amen. Now, many of my messages, I go into detail about that. I'm not going to do that this morning. But he says, the end of all things is at his hand. Therefore, because everything is coming to an end, right? Therefore, be serious. The King James Version says, be sober. That don't mean don't drink and get drunk. Now, you shouldn't be doing that anyway. I should have got more than one right. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to start asking those watching my live stream, start typing in something. Wake y'all up. Therefore, be serious and be watchful in your prayers. Now look at verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. I want to deal with that just for a moment, then we'll move on. Because here's a side note. If you want more of God's love, more of God's grace, and more of God's forgiveness, when it comes to the sins you commit, show just a little bit more love, grace, and forgiveness toward those who sin against you. I need at least one amen, or I'm going to have to read that again. But notice what Peter said. He said to be watchful in your prayers. So we know the word watch from previous studies means to be diligent. It means to be on guard. It means that you're supposed to be, and I'm supposed to be, and we are paying attention to what's going on around us. That you're not living your life unaware, but you're living your life with a purpose, and that purpose is to serve God. Are you with me? So what I believe Peter's talking about here is our position in the last days. That I'll just use me, that I'm supposed to be, and I am watchful, that I am diligent, that I am being purposeful in my prayers, that I am constantly and continually living in God's presence. And I know some of you are too. Amen. And it's not about going through your whole day with your hands lifted up and your eyes closed, praying and seeking God. Please do not pray and close your eyes when you're driving. That you'll be in heaven quicker than anybody. Amen. What he's talking about is living in God's presence. Moving with him, talking with him, amen? That we're in prayer, not only to be in fellowship with God, but also we're in prayer that we pray God's will. Listen to me, that we pray God's will be established on this earth. And we're going to see that this morning in the scriptures. Turn over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And I know you're being quiet this morning. That's okay. You're just listening. You're absorbing God's word into your spirit. Praise God. I'm not trying to get amens out of you. All I mean for you to say amen to is the part you want to happen in your life. Because amen says, means so be it unto me. And you're not telling it to Pastor John. You're telling it to the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at this in Luke chapter 11. Hallelujah. You see, prayer was never meant for you and I to tell God what he needs to do. Because really, he's already done everything. I mean, you know, how many of you ever read the story in the Bible where Jesus was hanging on the cross? He stretched his, he had his arms stretched out as he looked to heaven. He said, "It is finished." That means God's work was done. Everything was established back on the earth to mankind right then. Amen? That's why it's silly to ask God to do something for you, because he's already done it. What you need to be asking for is the wisdom and revelation, knowledge, so you'll know how to receive it. So you'll build your faith high enough to receive what God's already done for you. Amen. Hallelujah. You and I are supposed to be, and we are, most of us are. If you're not doing this morning, just start today. Amen. But we're to be establishing God's will on this planet. And I know that's a very, very bold statement. But again, I'm going to show you that in the scriptures. How many of you would believe it if Jesus said it? Well, look down at Luke 11, verse number 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, as he," talking about Jesus, "as he was praying in a certain place when he had ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" Do you know, if you read your Bible, you do, but do you know that this is the only thing his disciples ever asked him to teach them? I mean, outright just asked him, "Jesus, teach us to pray." Amen. Hallelujah. And do you know why? Because they had already seen the power of prayer in his life, and they wanted that. We see the manifestations of God's glory in all the things you're doing on this planet, in all the cities we walk into with you. So, Lord, would you please teach us to pray like you pray? And look at verse 2. "So he said to them, 'When you pray, think.'" Is that next word say think? I mean, you know, you can't think your prayers. When it says, "When you pray, do what?" Say something. "He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" Everybody knows that is the Lord's Prayer, right? Amen. That's the second most popular prayer there is. The first one is, "Now lay me down to sleep. I praise my Lord, the soul will keep." How many of you prayed that when you was a kid? Really? Nobody else wants to admit it? Come on now. I still pray it. No, I don't. Hallelujah. But I pray something like it. I ask God for sweet sleep. I said, "I'm laying my head down, Father God, and I'm going to meditate on your word tonight. And I thank you, Father God, that you give me sweet sleep." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're not asking that, and you're having nightmares, or you're having disturbed peace and disturbed sleep, you need to turn your life over, turn your head and your mind off, and turn it toward God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's just a little side note there. Now, I want us to go back up to verse number 2. I'm trying my best to get you out of here. And I want you to notice what Jesus said. He said, "Our Father," which we know is symbolic of his relationship with him. When you say "our Father," that means you're building a relationship. I'm in relationship with you, Father God. Amen? So then he says, and he says it like this. He says, when you come before God and you're in God's presence, he says, know that he's your father. He said, know that he's Abba Father. He's your daddy God. He's not just a God out there somewhere. And I really don't like this one. He's not just the man upstairs. No, he's right here. He may be the man upstairs to you, but he lives in me. So when I go to God, I'm not just going to look up. I'm going to look within because he's in here. He communicates with my spirit man. I know I'm getting into studies on down the road, but he communicates with our spirits. I've said this before. God will not communicate with you through your mind. Amen. You're a spirit being. You live in a body, and you have a mind, will, and emotions called the soul. Amen. I know we say, come to the altar, get your soul saved. But let me tell you something. Coming to the altar don't get your mind, will, and emotions saved. You got to get into the Word of God and renew your mind to the Word to get your soul saved. Amen. So he's not the man upstairs, but he's your father. And you can walk right into his presence or live in his presence as a son or daughter of God. How many of you know that? If you're a son of God, raise your hand. If you're a woman or a daughter of God, raise your hand. I kind of, if you're a son or daughter of God on the internet, say right in right now, I'm a son or a daughter of God. Amen? Amen. He says, while you're in God's presence, we ought to be praying that his will be done on this earth. Notice what he said. He said, Father, which is his relationship. He says, and then he worshiped him. He said, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Because that's worship. Then notice the next thing Jesus says in his prayer. He says, your kingdom come, Father. Your will be done. How many of you read the story of Jesus in the garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross? How many of you know he came that close to just saying, you know, this ain't worth it? See, he knew what was coming. He knew he was going to be arrested. He knew that he was going to be tortured and beaten. He knew that he would go to the cross. And he came that close in his prayers when he was sweating blood to saying, man, this generation ain't worth it. Because how many of you know that generation then was almost as wicked as this one, if not more. But then he said those magic words, not magic words, but those godly words. Thank you, Father. He said, thy will be done, not mine. Do you know what that ministers to me? That my words ought to be the same. Father, your will be done in my life, not mine. Father, your will be done in my home, not mine. Father, your will be done on my job, not mine. Father God, your will be done in this community, not ours. Amen? Father, your will be done. How many of you could say that this morning? Father, your will be done. Amen. Glory to God. That's a good message, ain't it? I don't know about you, but I'm preaching me happy. I can see right now in Jason's face, I'm preaching him happy too. Praise God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You see, this was and is the foundation of Jesus' prayer. The whole thing. That was the whole foundation. And he's teaching this foundation of prayer to who? Us, his disciples. How many disciples are in there this morning? How many disciples are watching by the internet this morning? Amen. Everybody say this, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you're on the internet this morning, type that in. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. We don't leave anybody out, right? Amen. So as disciples of Jesus Christ, you and I are to be praying God's will to be done on this planet as it is in heaven. How many of you know that ain't happening right now? I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. Hallelujah. Listen, our prayer life enters you and I into God's presence. And then from his presence, walking in his presence, being in his presence, we can help establish his will on this planet. And we can see that more, see more evidence of that in our master, Jesus Christ's life. Look at this in John chapter 5. And I'm going to try to move through these quickly. John chapter 5, and then we go through this. I am praying this makes a lot of sense to you, that you change the way you pray. Amen? See, really, most people don't look at prayer this way. Most churches don't teach prayer this way. So that's why Jesus said, look, disciples, if you want me to teach you how to pray, then I'm going to teach you what I do. Amen? So in John chapter 5, verse number 30, this is our master speaking. He says, I can of myself do nothing. Look at this. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek what? My own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now, turn over to John 6. John chapter 6. This is the same master talking to you and I. Verse number 38. He says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up in the last day. I don't know about you, but he's talking about me. I've seen him and I believe him. Amen. A lot of people see Jesus Christ in their life, but they only believe him momentarily till he gives them what they're praying for or what they're seeking in their life, and then they put him back on the shelf. I'm not going to do that. Amen? You're not going to do that either. Not and go to this church, because you'll be under conviction every time you walk in here. Hallelujah. Just saying. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to notice something, and I want you to get a revelation. I want you to get the revelation that your master, my master, Jesus Christ himself, and it wasn't because he was just the Son of God, because he came as a man. How many of you know that? He was in a fleshly body just like me and you. Amen. He had to learn the scriptures as a little boy. Amen. You have to learn the scriptures as a little boy or girl, or you're not going to understand what I'm saying. But I want you to see this. Jesus was totally consumed with his Father's will. It was his whole life was to fulfill the will of the Father. What is God's will for this earth? How many of you know we need to know that? Two of us. All right. We need to know that because our master's life, his whole prayer life, which we are, by the way, supposed to be imitating, amen? Jesus' whole prayer life was always focused around fulfilling his daddy's will. Not only for his own life, but for this planet. Now, there is a place I said before that we can make our requests known to God. How many of you know that? Everybody say Philippians 4:6. Just write that down. Look at the board. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be known to God. So you can ask for things, but I encourage you to always ask according to His will for your life. Amen? Yeah. Which is according to His word. When I pray His word. Because it ain't John's, what John wants. It's what my Father wants for me that I pray for. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm not saying we can never ask God for the desires of our heart. How many of you know God wants us to ask for things? But what God wants our main focus to be on is establishing His will, first of all, in our life. Amen. And then we are to establish His will on this earth. Now I want you to think about this. Fixing to challenge you. In your prayer life, or I'll just use me too, in my prayer life, do we really speak, decree, and declare God's will to be done on this earth? I know I haven't a lot of times in my past prayers, but I can tell you this, I am for now on. Because I know His will for me is a whole lot better than my will for myself. And I know His will for this earth is a whole lot better than what we can consider His will for this earth. Amen? Amen. How often do we decree God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Or are we just not saying anything at all about the will of God be done? And just allowing God, all of God's enemies to have their way on this planet? I'm going to tell you what, in the past, the church has failed. And if you look around you, if you watch the internet, if you watch the news, if you, like I said earlier, if you ain't got your head in the sand, then you see that God's enemies are having their way on this planet. Amen. And that's not a good thing. And we can't change it for everyone. But how many of you know you can change it for your house? I mean, you know you can change it for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. But you can't just talk it. You got to live it. You got to walk it. That's right, Jason. Amen. Praise God. My brothers and sisters, it is high time that we start resisting and pushing back the powers of darkness. The powers of darkness have had their way too long on this planet. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it. And we are to push back the powers of darkness. How? By fervently praying God's word. By fervently declaring His will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Can you say amen? I'm asking you and I'm encouraging you, please get a hold of this. For the Father's will to be done on this earth, it must be done through His body. And you and I, my brothers and sisters, are His body. Jesus is the head. We're the body. Read Ephesians. Amen? So for the Father's will to be fulfilled, it must take place through you and me. Why? Because Jesus made you and me, you and I don't know which one's a better language. He made us, the governing authority on this planet. We have authority, not Satan. Satan did have it, and Satan still has power and authority in a lot of people's lives. But once you get born again and you learn who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you, you'll know that you have authority over the devil. And don't mistake him as a guy with a pitchfork and pointed tail. The Bible says it's principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. That means every time you pray, you say have some kind of lackadaisy kind of prayer. the powers of darkness that are in the heavens are going to hinder your prayers. That's why it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Not some haphazardly prayer, okay, now lay me down to sleep. Praise the Lord, my soul to keep. That's okay for babies, but you ain't no baby. Milk's okay for babies, but there's a reason why the mother doesn't produce milk but so long. Because the baby's got to grow up. I did a message back in 1985 or 87, somewhere in there. And there was a whole church full of seniors. Okay? And those seniors, most of them had been born again longer than I had been living. And God put it on my heart to do a message. And back then, my kids were still young, and Miss Brenda still had a lot of the baby bottles and stuff. They weren't babies, I don't think, at that time. But anyway, I gathered up a bunch of baby bottles, the old baby bottles with the rubber nipple. How many of you remember those? And then I brought a bunch of knives and forks. And I started my message off, and in the middle of that message, I said, and most of y'all in here are still sucking on these when you ought to be chewing and eating meat with these. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You ought to be eating meat after a while. Right. Well, I won't elaborate on it, but the pastor called me in his office. He said, Brother John, you can't teach that. He said, you're going to empty out my church. I said, what do you mean I can't teach it? He said, these saints are not old enough to receive it. They're still babies in Christ. I said, good Lord, brother. And I told him, I said, some of these have been born again longer than I am old. He said, I know it, but they've never been fed anything but milk. I love that man dearly, and he's in heaven right now, but that didn't speak very much of his preaching. I'm not going to feed you milk. Miss Brenda has told me, baby, you ought to be a little easier on the babies. No, I'm going to show the babies what they're going to have to do to get by in this world. Amen. Jesus never changed the word. Peter said, when you're a baby, desire the sincere milk of the word. What for? So you can grow up. I don't know why I got off on that, but I did, and I'll not apologize for it. Hallelujah. But I'm saying, for the Father's will to be done, you and I have to do it. Can you say amen? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, he said, on this rock, which he was talking about the word of God, he said, on this rock I will build my church. Now watch this. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How many of you in here this morning will testify that you're a part of that church and the devil cannot prevail against you? I can tell you this one thing. HCC is a part of that church. And the devil will not ever, while as I'm sucking breath, he will never have a place in this church. Amen. You know why? Because we keep preaching the glory of God. And the glory of God keeps the devil out of here. They may walk through that door with a devil with them, or devil coming in with a devil, but they're going to leave with Jesus Christ. Amen. Or they won't be back. You know why? Because light can't fellowship with darkness. I was telling a person yesterday, the day before, that to anoint their house with the blood of Jesus, and I've taught this before, that you ought to put the blood of Jesus, figuratively speaking, don't go kill none of your goats or lambs, okay? But figuratively speaking, every born-again Christian, every family, every man, let me just itemize it. Every man ought to take the blood of Jesus and put over the lintels and the doorpost. You know why? Because then death has to pass over. Read your Bible. Read the Old Testament. Read about Moses. Read about in Exodus. Amen. And if you anoint your house with oil or the blood of Jesus, the devil can't come in there for very long. I was telling this person the only way the devil even gets a foothold in the house of any born-again Christian is if we let him in. And I'm not going to teach it today, but the only way we can let it in is to start having heated fellowship with one another. In heated fellowship, some people call it arguing and fussing and fighting. I know Christians don't do that. That's why we call it heated fellowship. But the only way Satan could ever come into a household is if we let him in through our flesh. And then he has a right there until we recognize who he is and tell him, no, you don't, devil. And you know how we do that? By going to each other and say, you know something, I'm sorry. I was in my flesh. So let's get the devil out. We just command the devil to leave right now in Jesus' name. And then you can boldly say that, hey, yeah, the devil comes by my house. But he sticks his face against that window and he sees God's glory in there. He ain't coming in. You know why? Because there's too many other houses down the road that he can visit. Don't shout me down now. And if you hadn't done that, do it. That's what it means to come boldly before the throne of grace. That will, the 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. The greater one lives in you. I had a person tell me a while back that, you know, a devil inhabited a born-again Christian. I said, that's not true. They can't, because the glory of God and the devil can't live in the same household. A born-again Christian can't be possessed by a devil. Are you hearing me? Now, the devil can oppress you, but he can't inhabit your home. Not if you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Where was I? Matthew 18:18. Well, I should have said Matthew 18:18. Or was I at 16? 16:18. On this rock. Thank you, sister. Hey, just might as well expect the Holy Ghost has already took up 10 or 15 minutes of my time. So if we're late to Granny D's, don't blame it on him, not me. But Jesus said, if God's will is going to be done, it's going to be you and me, because we are the church. Jesus' idea of the church was not to be an entertainment venue. His idea of the church was not to be just a place where Christians gather together and drink coffee and eat donuts, even though I love our people drinking coffee and eating donuts. But it wasn't meant to be that, just like just another social club. You see, if you read the Bible and you read the book of Acts, you'll find that the first church was established on the words of Jesus Christ, because early Christians came into one accord with his word and with his teachings. Because they did that, then the presence of God fell heavily and the power of God overshadowed the church, even to the point to where the prayers of the early church and the early congregations not only influenced the people in the communities, but their praying in one accord with God's word even influenced entire cities. Can you say amen? We can be an influence in this city. We can be an influence in our communities. But first we have to let God be an influence in our homes and in our lives. So in the early church, prayer was not just about bringing a laundry list to God and letting him know what he could do for them, but instead the people's thoughts and prayers were centered more around what they could do for God. Father God, what is in your heart? Father God, where's my place in all this? Father God, what can I do to establish your kingdom? My brothers and sisters, if God's kingdom is to be established on this earth, it must be done through his church. Jesus is the head of the church. We're the body of the church. The head cannot do anything without the body. Get a hold of that. I'm not going to ask you to get a picture of this, but if Jason's head was sitting down there in that chair and Jason's body is sitting right there, how many of you know that head's not going to be able to do anything without that body? Well, the head of the church can't do anything without you and me. Amen. That's why every time you come in here, I encourage you to keep doing stuff for God. If you want, how many of you in here want to be blessed beyond your wildest dreams, they say? Then bless God beyond your wildest dreams. We have a scripture in the Bible that we read very often. Luke 6:38 says, give first, and God will give unto you. It says, give and you will be given unto. Amen? Yeah. How many of you know we got to give first? Yeah. I'm just telling you, don't expect anything from God if you ain't giving him anything. I could say it like this. If you ain't giving nothing, don't expect nothing. Are you hearing me? No, I know nobody likes to hear that. There's a whole lot of people in this room that could give a whole lot more of themselves to God. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching. I just turned down somebody's street, didn't I? Matter of fact, I just went up on somebody's porch. And I saw you turn them lights out. And I saw you close them blinds. But I'm going to stay here until you listen. Amen. I'm telling you this, when the first church would do what God said, when the first church would pray in according to God's word, they influenced the communities, the states, whatever it is, the area. They influenced the area. Amen? Amen. 18:18, Matthew 18:18. Let's move along. Whoo! Got 9 minutes and 9 pages. Y'all better start listening quick. Matthew 18:18 says this, and this is our master speaking again. He says, whatever you bind on earth, who's doing the binding? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Now that's the words of our master. So Jesus and heaven needs yours and my cooperation in order to fulfill anything and everything that God wants on this planet. Amen. Now, a lot of you are looking at me like and shaking your head like, that's why he keeps telling us to witness to people. How many of you know Jesus ain't going to come down out of heaven and start a street ministry? He's not going to come to your neighbor next to you and start witnessing about himself. We do the binding. We do the loosening on this earth, not Jesus. So God is saying through his word, come on, church. Cooperate with me. And then together we'll get this thing wrapped up. He's saying, I can't do nothing without you, church. How many of you in here are the church? We're the church. This is just a building. So the question is, are you willing to cooperate with God in heaven by walking with him, talking with him, reading his word, studying his word, doing his word? Because that's how we cooperate with him. Let me tell you something. You have to walk in your delegated authority, or nothing's going to get done in your life or in your household. I cannot bind the devil off of you other than in this place. And you know what he does when I do? He waits right out the door for you. Then when you go out there, he said, come on, buddy. You don't have to listen to that guy. You and me, man, we've been doing this all along by ourselves. Don't shout me down now. Hallelujah. If you don't bind the devil off your life, he won't be bound. If you don't loose God's anointing and God's will in your life, his will not manifest in your life. Well, Pastor, you know, I've always been taught that God was in control of everything. Y'all look at me. If God was in control over everything, he's doing a terrible job. He's doing a terrible job if he's in control. He's not in control. Luke 10:19 says, Jesus said, behold, all power is given unto me. And then he turned right around and gave it to his disciples. When he said, go, do this. Go, do that. And I give you all authority to do that. Amen? It's not John's authority. It's his authority. But I have to exercise that authority in my life for it to manifest. Amen? If that's ever come out of your mouth that God's in control, do not let it come out of your mouth again. You need to read your Bible, be slow to speak, and quick to listen to God's Holy Spirit. Because I don't care who you are, whether it's Bailey, who's a teenager, or Gibby, who's old as Methuselah. They have authority. Bailey, you have authority in your life, baby. If you're a child or you're a young person watching by a live stream this morning, you have authority in your life. If you're a teenager, do not rely on your mom and dad to do it for you. You do it for yourself. Amen. The smallest child, once they know who they are in Christ, has more authority than all the devils in hell. Amen. Hallelujah. We just got to know it. And the only way we can know it is get into God's Word or come to Hill Country Cowboy Church or any other church that's preaching the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I heard a quote. Listen, we got to be about the Father's business. Amen? I heard a quote, and I'm going to share it with you. It was by a person named or a man named Watchman Nee. That's a pretty neat name. Watchman Nee was a great man of prayer and a Christian teacher in the early 20th century. And Watchman Nee said this. He says, because believers mind too much of their own affairs and fail to work together with God, many enemies and much lawlessness are not bound. And much grace and many sinners are not released from lawlessness. He said, how greatly, I'm going to read that again, how greatly restricted is God in heaven by the earth. And knowing how God respects you and me, or us, so much, he respects our words so much, why don't we trust him with our prayer life? Why don't we speak to him and speak his word? Let me read that first part again. It's so important. He said, because believers, that's you and me, mind too much of their own affairs. In other words, they're too busy with other things. Because they mind too much of their own affairs and fail to work together with God, many enemies and much lawlessness are not bound. I want you to think about that. Think about what's going on right now in our nation. Think about all the things that are happening in our government, in our workplaces, and especially in our schools. Think about what the devil is trying to accomplish across this nation and even around the world. And yet we see for the most part that the church is silent. And that is a travesty. The church is silent. And the church fails to say the word of God. And listen, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not condemning anybody. Okay? I want you to know that. But churches need to wake up. Churches need to wake up. What I am saying is the church, you, me, and all Christians ought to be more engaged in helping our Heavenly Father. More engaged in our prayer life than we've ever been. More engaged in exercising our authority over the devil and his demonic forces. Not over people. We can't change people's lives unless they ask us to pray for them. Then our prayers avail much. Amen? So not over people, but over the devil. Saying things like, no, you don't, devil. Not in our community. Not in our city. Not in the United States of America. No, sirree, devil. Not now and not ever. In Jesus' name. We bind you, devil. We bind you and all your demons, and we loose the angels of God to perform God's will on this planet. Can you say amen? Yet we see so many of today's churches actually cooperating with the devil, taking on the world's views and the world's moral standards and values. We're seeing more churches do what the world deems is right instead of what God deems is right. Even to the point to where there's so much of the world in some of your churches of today that it's hard to even see any kind of distinction between the two. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. God wants His will established on this earth, but the church, if it is loose in its belief system, or if the church is lackadaisical and refuses to engage in spiritual warfare through their prayer life, through intercessory prayer, the Bible says lawlessness and wickedness will, not maybe, but will abound. And that's exactly what we see in today's society because the church has been too silent. And listen, maybe you and I aren't, but the body of Christ and the church as a whole is silent. I mean, some Christians don't even pray over their food, much less engage in spiritual warfare. Can't get a lot of people just to pray over the meal. Don't shout me down now. We're fixing to go eat here in a little bit. And I'm going to ask one of you to pray. Let's see how many people don't show up. But people are afraid to pray. They don't want to open their mouths, and I don't know why. Because listen, truthfully, that's why things don't get done. That's why things never got done in my life when I didn't pray. I had to apologize to my kids because I never prayed when they were kids. I taught the Bible, head deacon in the church. Built my kids up in school. They both were good students. Both were athletes. But never sat them down at the kitchen table and said, son, daughter, let dad teach you how to pray. That's why when 1997, we had to go to our kids and say, forgive us, for we knew not what we were doing. Amen? A lot of us need to humble ourselves before our children and say, it wasn't your fault. Things will not get done in our lives unless we pray. This is why we see so many of today's people, their lives are just in turmoil. And their lives look like what they do. And I'm talking about even born-again Christians. Born-again Christians just sitting back and saying, well, you know, pastor said the rapture's coming. Well, praise God, me and my four are saved. And all the time, their neighbors, their friends, and their families are hurting and suffering from the wiles of the devil. Some of them even to the point to where they don't even know and recognize Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you don't know and recognize Jesus and he don't know you, when the trumpet sounds and the rapture takes place of the church, they will not go. And if you ain't bold enough to tell them about Jesus, shame on you. Aren't you glad I'm coming to the close? Brothers and sisters, the Bible says in the last days, the world will become darker and darker. But the Bible does not say we should just disengage the enemy and let the enemy have his way in our lives and on this planet. Amen. I'll say amen for me. Y'all type amen on your computer screen. Praise God. And again, I know you're just listening, but I'm telling you what, we need to grow up. Amen? And I don't want any of you to leave and not come back. But we're going to preach the truth here. I'm on a mission from God. He said, preach my word. He told me the same thing he told Paul told Timothy. He said, preach the word. Let me tell you something. Jesus said that we are to occupy till he comes. Not just let the devil have his way. How many of you know Jesus made Satan and all of his demons his footstool? Amen. Well, how many of you know that you can also get with God, get alone with God, get in his word, get enough word on the, down on the inside of you where you start living his word, talking his word, and decreeing his word, and you and I can make the devil our footstool as well. Got five amens. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to move down so we can, so we can leave. Praise the Lord. Let me say this. Jesus said we are to engage God's enemies. And what I'm fixing to tell you, please do not misunderstand that. We do not hate people. We do not, we actually love people. But as the children of God, we follow God and we hate sin. Amen? But we don't hate people. But at the same time, Jesus said, you and I are to stay engaged and you and I are to push back the powers of darkness. Amen? We're supposed to be telling the devil, enough is enough. Amen. Tell the devil, if you men want to get bold, tell the devil over and speak over this over your children. Just tell the devil, darkness ain't happening in my family. Darkness ain't going to come into our church. Darkness ain't going to come into my community. No siree, devil. Go peddle your lies and false doctrine elsewhere, because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. As for me and my house, we're going to hold fast to God's word, and we're going to speak God's word and declare God's word each and every day. Anytime the need arises, we're going to speak God's word. Amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, devil, I didn't mean to look at you, Miss Susan, when I said that. That's just your pastor, okay? I know you do. As a matter of fact, devil, We're not going to stop speaking and declaring God's word until we see the Father's will established, not only in our lives, but on this earth. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to close. And let me close by saying this first. There is no way we're done with this message. Because we're going to keep teaching God's word until we all grow up, until we're walking it, talking it. And most of us in here are. Amen. We're a work in progress, aren't we? Amen. And I believe I serve a living God that is actually, I want to believe this with all my heart, that he's standing in heaven right now saying, preach it, son. Preach it, son. Keep telling my people to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Keep telling my people to pray my word and declare my word. In other words, keep telling them or giving my angels, telling them to give my angels something to work with. See, the angels are only going to move on God's word. And I'm going to close with this scripture. Psalm 103:20, write it down. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength. Now watch this. Who do what? His word. Heeding the voice of his word. My brothers and sisters, you and I. Turn to your neighbor and say he's talking to you. Pay attention. You and I are God's voice on this planet. I'm going to say that again. You and I, Jason, me, Thomas, Miss Susan, Liz. I think I could go around the room. We're God's voice. Amen? Give me your God's voice. And I know for a fact this man puts our messages on Facebook. Every sermon is on his Facebook page. I encourage you to do the same thing. Like it and share it. That's preaching the gospel, guys. You ain't got to grab your Bible and go down on 5th Street overpass. Now, if you feel called to do that, go ahead. I'm not going. It's cold down there. I'm not called to be down there. If I was called, I don't care what the weather was, I'd go. But God wants us to keep doing his word. You and I are God's voice on this planet. And we will purpose in our hearts to speak his word, pray his word, and adhere to his word on a daily basis, all day long, every day. We will establish his will, not only in our lives, but we will establish his will on this earth. Can you say amen? Let's stand to our feet. I know I promised you I'd get you out of here quick. And again, there's a box in the back. It's got a HS on it. Stands for Holy Spirit. If you have a complaint, just write it out and put it in that box. We never close a service without giving everyone an opportunity to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's all bow our head, because here's how you get to know him. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord, you will be saved. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is your only begotten Son, and because he died, I can live. I believe that he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Jesus, come into my heart. I claim right now, you are my Lord, and I am saved. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. The last thing we always say is what? We serve a miracle working God. That was pretty good. And we're always the first, next in line for our miracle. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.